Welcome to the monthly podcast exclusively for Somerset Football Association referees.
Watch the referees now.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Levitt.
Hello again and welcome to the Referees World podcast. My name's Darren Daly, I'm a level 5 referee, and this is Somerset FA's County Training Officer, Richard Mellon.
Hello Darren.
Fresh back from Dallas.
Fresh back from Dallas, lovely.
And we'll have more on that and why Rich was in Dallas coming up in the show. We'll also talk to an FA Cup final referee.
But nowadays, the tackle goes in, a guy roars about 20 times, roars from halfway line to the penalty area, and then he calls a trainer on, and he just wipes his lipstick off, and he gets on with the game sort of thing, you know.
The Somerset FA promotion list is out, if you haven't already seen who's been promoted. We'll have details about that coming up between now and the end of the show. We've some dates for your diary, and of course we'll go through some of your emails, including an email from somebody in South Wales who's requested we talk about pre-match warm-ups. That's all to come on the Referees World podcast, which don't forget you can listen online, okay? You can listen through iTunes as well. Just search to iTunes and search for Referees World, and then you can subscribe for free and get it downloaded to your phone or to your iPod.
Referees World news update.
Right now, let's crack on with the news headlines.
Okay, the news headlines. Somerset Football Association promotions involving referees from level 4 up to 3 and then 6 all the way up through to 5.
Let's read some names.
Congratulations. Mark Lawrence, Bridgewater, Adam Penwell, Western Supermare and Martin Vita, Midsummer Norton have all been promoted to level 3.
That's brilliant news.
Yeah, absolutely good news. Okay, moving on. We've had referees promoted to level 4 and we're really pleased that we've had 5 referees promoted to level 4. Jonathan Davis, Bath, Steve Fernley, Whitchurch, Peter Moorhood, Yeovil, Craig Scriven from Wedmore and Savas Yanni from Western Supermare.
Brilliant, that's excellent news. Yeah. So well done, guys.
Yeah, we've had another 5 referees promoted from level 6 to level 5. Ian Parsons, Bristol, David Roberts, Portishead, Anthony Welch, Martock, Jim Farrant, Milverton, Wayne Hardwell, Bridgewater.
Brilliant, well done, gents.
And bringing up the rear end, if you know what I mean, in pantomime terms, from level 7s to 6, Bradley Carter, Western, Stephen Clark, Bristol, Jonathan Cooper, Burnham-on-Sea, Stephen Cornish, Watchett, Craig Finnean, Henstridge, Philip Fisher, Western Supermare, Rob Fortune, Caincham, Tyler Ganfield, Western Supermare, Sean Harding, Peasedown, St John, Harry Hendricks, Nalsey, Brian Lee, Taunton, Kevin Loosley, Chard, Brendan Loosley, Chard, Martin Peters, Bristol, Simon Salter, Templecombe, Mark Smith, Burnham-on-Sea, Paul Swain, Yeovil, Richard Swain, Yeovil, Alex Trimlett, Western Supermare, Casper Vick, Bath, and Isaac Woodward, Yeovil.
Brilliant. Congratulations to everybody that's got their promotion for this season.
Contact us now, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
Next up, Rich, what we got?
Okay, we had an email from a colleague in South Wales, John Hill.
John Hill, hello John, and thanks very much for getting in touch with the podcast, and you can do that online. Our email address is refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay, John asks for a little bit of advice on what to do for pre-match warm-ups. I consulted my friend Lee Probert, and he gave me his version of what he does on a pre-match warm-up, Darren.
Okay.
So, pin your ears back and listen to this. This is quite strenuous, I think. So, warm-up starts half an hour before the game, and it lasts for about 15 minutes. During that warm-up, there will be a couple of slow laps around the field of play. A few static stretches for the Achilles, calves, quads, hamstrings. Hold these for about 15 seconds each. And then we move on to the goal line to the edge of the penalty area. A little bit of sideways movement off the left foot and off the right foot. Times three. Do that 3 times. We do a few bum flicks, if I'm allowed to use that word. For high knees, use that 3 times. A little bit of backwards running. All this is from the goal line to the edge of the penalty area. Do the grapevine. Do you know what the grapevine is, Darren? Can you describe it?
No.
It's a little bit of cross footing, if you know what I mean. You watch my feet when you're running. Look at my feet, everybody. Okay.
Is it the one where you look a bit sort of camp when it looks like you're doing a bit of a mince?
Yes. Yeah, mincing. That's a good word. A bit of mincing. Okay. Let's go a little bit more further with the pre-match warm-up. Hurdles in and it out.
Yeah, it's one of my favourite warm-ups, that is. Yeah. I don't feel like I've done it properly until I've done into outs and then out to in.
And that's the other one I was going to say, out to in. Do that twice, coming from the goal line to the edge of the penalty area. Hamstring stretch, brush the ground. You understand what we're saying there, do that a couple of times.
And then hamstring walk.
Yeah, yeah. And then we do a few sprints. Again, those 18-yard sprints, just to get you warmed up and in the mood for the game. And then a good stretch afterwards. These are just a few ideas, but if anybody wants a copy or any ideas of what to do, then I'll forward it in the post or via email.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referees World podcast with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon. Don't forget, you can listen on iTunes. And if you've got a dodgy computer or whatever and you can't listen to us online, then maybe you've got an iPhone. If that's the case, just go to iTunes, search a podcast, and look for Referees World and sign up for free. And then you'll get the podcast downloaded to your phone when the next issues are available. Still to come then, we'll speak to the original Silver Fox, who's been on the show once before, hasn't he, Rich?
Yes, he was. The famous man himself.
The main man, Roger Milford, who doesn't shut up. This is why we've had to bring him on in two sections, because he really, really didn't shut up. And this was back in January. So we're going to talk to Roger a bit later on to find out what it's like to be a referee on Cup Final Day.
FA Cup Final Day.
Sorry.
My pants were turning a different colour.
Oh, brilliant.
Now, I know you love your football, but you may also be into your martial arts. My name is Chris Kay, and whether you practice karate, judo, kickboxing, taekwondo, or MMA, check out the Den Show podcast. The Den Show is a brand new audio martial arts magazine with news, events, interviews, discussions, and more. Download and listen to all of the episodes at thedenshow.com. thedenshow.com, or search for The Den Show on iTunes.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
And we'll talk more about Rich's trip to Dallas. Nice little freebie that was, Rich, wasn't it?
There was no freebie
nice
about
nice jolly.
This. No, there was no freebie about this, let me say that much. It was hard work.
Can you explain why you were over there?
I went there as an independent assessor with my colleague Craig Cox from Tiverton. We're both level 4 tutors for the FA, and we're both PGMO assessors. Craig went last year, and I wasn't able to go because it clashed with another appointment that I was...
Another freebie you were on. Was that the India trip?
That was the India trip, yeah. You make it sound a little bit glamorous, this. It's all hard work.
Mitch has gone red. He's getting embarrassed. Brilliant.
Let me say, this is all hard work, honestly. But this year, I was fortunate enough to be allowed to go to Dallas.
Which competition was this for?
This was the Dallas Cup 2011.
Okay.
The Dallas Cup is sponsored by the competitors of Coca-Cola, and that's Dr. Pepper. It's a massive competition, played in extremely good conditions as regards the facilities. The temperatures range between... 62 one day and 92 the next. That's how the range the weather can change. And we were subjected to some very heavy thunderstorms, which curtailed the final match, which was between Tigres from Mexico and Eintracht Frankfurt from Germany.
What's the standard of football like?
Very, very good. The under-19s elite group are the under-19s academies from the professional teams. Arsenal were represented, Barcelona were represented at under-19s level. Eintracht Frankfurt and Tigres, as I said, they contested the final between them. Eintracht Frankfurt beat Arsenal 2-0 in the semi-final, but it's a very, very high-quality football.
And would you say the same about the standard of officials?
Yeah, I was really pleased with the standard of officials, and surprisingly, my focus actually was distracted to towards the competency of the lady match officials or the female match officials that were there. I saw four female referees, highly competent, and it was really, really good to see how well they performed doing their tasks as referees.
Do you think they performed better than our male colleagues?
They certainly did in many cases.
Which is quite interesting, actually, because obviously this season female officials have been brought to the forefront of refereeing because of the Shah Massey affair.
Yeah, I mean, I was just literally thinking about this a couple of days ago, I'd like us to do a feature on female match officials in a more serious way. I know we talked about it with Janie a couple of months ago on the podcast, mm-hmm. but I'd like us now to bring in a couple of match officials, our lady match officials, and to discuss the elements and the challenges that they face. And like I say, I saw some lady match officials, they were very good. And, you know, they were given cup final appointments out there in that competition.
Fantastic. So your overall summary of the tournament?
Very, very good. Very well organised. Very demanding. Very hot. But exceptionally friendly. Exceptionally friendly. Everybody couldn't
have a nice day.
Y'all. Yeah. But we were fortunate enough to stay with local people, homestay as they call it. And I stayed with Joan and Paul Carey. Craig Cox, my colleague, as I said, he stayed with Tommy and Cindy Bailey. And they couldn't do enough for us. They were so generous. That was a very phrase that was used quite often. But they looked after us extremely well. Liked to go back there next year, but it all depends on personal circumstances.
This is Referees World.
It's the Referees World podcast. My name is Darren Daly. I'm a level 5 referee, and this is Richard Mellon, who's the Somerset FA County Training Officer and of course a PGMO League Assessor as well. All these figures and numbers and letters after your name, may I forget them all? By the way, I've got to mention as well, if you want to get in touch with us, it'd be great to hear from you, because this is the last podcast on our first season of doing this, and we've had a great response. We really have. We'll go through some of the list of places where people are actually listening to this podcast a bit later on. But if you have just picked us up in the last couple of months or so, brilliant. Hope you're enjoying it. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know your feedback as well. And you can email us, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
This is Referees World with Darren Daly and Richard Mellon.
Okay, a couple of dates for the diary. The County RA AGM of Somerset, that is the 19th of May, Thursday the 19th. Then moving on forward, we have a couple of fitness test dates here, and this will obviously be of interest to you as well, Darren.
Yeah.
We have two dates. Bath University, Sunday the 26th of June, 12 noon to 1 p.m. There is a fitness test for those who want to be on the Toolstation Western League assistant referees list. Okay. There is another one. There's a second date of Sunday the 10th of July. Okay. Castle School Taunton. You took the words out of my mouth. On both of these occasions, there will be tests for assistant referees. Mm-hmm. And equally important, there will be expected tests for level 5 referees seeking promotion or nomination to level 4. Okay.
Can we just clarify what you'll expect from those that will be attending these fitness sessions?
Okay. The assistant referees requirement is to run continuously for 12 minutes and cover a minimum distance of 2,200 metres. Also, you will be expected to complete 2 40-metre sprints, and each sprint should take no more than 7.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, for those referees looking to move from level 5 to level 4, the test expectation is slightly higher. They will be expected to cover 2,500 metres in 12 minutes, mm-hmm. and they will complete 2 50-metre sprints in 7.5 seconds. So you can see the demand increases slightly as you move up the ladder.
Okay. Okay. For those of you that have already done that in the last couple of seasons, you'll know exactly what to expect. One thing also to remind you about is don't forget to take your blood pressure reading, because if you don't take that, then you're not going to get put through.
I forgot to mention that. Thanks for that, Darren. That's from your experience.
I know, that's experience, that is.
Okay, the other date for the diary I've got is July the 16th, or Friday, July the 15th and 16th, is RA National Conference at the Barcello Hinckley Hotel.
This is Referees World.
It's the Referees World podcast. Now, you may remember back in January that we had the original Silver Fox, Roger Milford, on the show. Let's grab him back. I think it's only fair, because he's a man that can yap for England, to talk more about what it's like to be an FA Cup final referee, as indeed he had the experience of in 1991. Rog!
Hello again, guys. Hope you're keeping well.
Let's go back to the moment that you were told you were going to be FA Cup final referee, 1991, Spurs against Notts Forest. Firstly, when did you get that call? How did it feel to you? What was going through your mind at the time?
Oh, well, I cast my mind back a little bit. Yes, I was in the office at the time. I was working at the time. I had a phone call from the FA. It was a gentleman called Colin Downey, who was at that time in charge of referees. And he said to me, I've got a big surprise for you. And I just said to him, I said, well, I've had a wage rise. And he almost collapsed, and he said, no, something better than that. He said, I'm going to offer you to referee the FA Cup final this year. And just for a change, guys, there was a stunned silence from the mill.
No, no.
Yes, oh, yes, yes. It was a shock because I wasn't expecting it because, you know, in my age of a referee as I was at that time, I'm thinking, no, they can't get the cup final. Because the year before, I was actually fourth official at the Man United Crystal Palace cup final, which went to a replay. So I'd already been to Wembley twice at the FA Cup final. It was my old friend, dear friend, who's passed away now, Aaron Gunn, did it.
And obviously, you get that news. I'm presuming you had to keep it quiet for some considerable amount of time.
I mean, that was the first thing he said. He said, you can tell the immediate family, but you mustn't tell anybody else. It will be released to the press in a couple of days, and I'm sure you'll handle it in your own inimitable way. Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, then it came up. The TV and radio people came round outside the house, and they knocking on the door, and letters and posts and everything, you know. The one embarrassing thing from my point of view was Radio Bristol turned up, and I was doing an interview. And the wife walked in and they turned on her and said, he's like, oh, Mrs. Milford, what do you think about the cup final? Well, what my missus knows about football, you can put into a glass of hot water, you know.
So, oh, was she wearing a dressing gown and a pair of pink fluffy
slippers?
No,
she had her miniskirt on, but did I get it in the neck afterwards? I mean, it's my fault. You see, it's always my fault, isn't it? It's always a referee's fault. It's always my fault.
Always be the referee.
Anyway, you know, we had lots of letters and cards from people that send out the... I was going to say condolences then, but they send out all the greetings for you sort of thing, and it was good. It was a good time.
Rog, going back a little bit now, being a young lad, growing up, playing football, doing all those things that you did.
Yeah.
Dreams of walking up Wembley Way. Did you actually do that on Cup Final Day?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because you've obviously read my book, haven't written. Did you get that one?
You can't write.
Yeah, all right. Wembley was an institution. There's only two or three things in this country that the sort of country stops for. The Grand National, Aussie cricket, you know, the Lords, and the sort of the Cup Final. And you think, and the whole nation is watching you. And I'm walking down that thinking, Jesus, the guy from Bristol doing the cup final. Who'd have thought this? Because I only took up refereeing because I picked up an injury playing football. And I think it does go through your mind. And I said to myself, aren't I lucky I've got two good footballing ties here today? Tottenham Hotspur, one for football. Nottingham Forest, Mr. Clough and his boys. Never any trouble, Mr. Clough and his boys. What a great time. And you walk out and then it hits you, the roar. And you could not possibly understand what that roar is like when you walk out of that tunnel. It was concrete blocks, not painted over. You walk out under a canvas awning, so ordinary and plain, and you walk on that pitch, and there's nothing like it in this world, I can assure you. People have said to me many years ago, over the years, that what is your best game you ever had? My best game, funny enough, was my first game at Wembley when I did what was then called the Sherpa Van Final. I did Burnley versus Wolves, my first ever game at Wembley. That, to me, was my best ever game. So the FA is way up there, the FA Cup. But it was that noisy atmosphere. God, it sends shivers down your spine sort of thing. Marvellous time, marvellous occasion.
Okay, Melf, let's try and translate this then, or bring it down a scale a little bit.
Yep.
You're walking out at Wembley.
Yep.
We've got colleagues that are walking out for their first game as a referee.
Yes.
How do you control and focus yourself?
Well, it's easy for me to say now because I go back years before I did that sort of thing. My first ever game was at Aston Park opposite the Bristol City Ground, and I walked out there and you felt alone and lonely because in those days there was no assistants up with you. It was you just you and two flags and a football. And you walk out there, and luckily the two guys, when I blew the whistle, two captains came up, were sort of goodish guys, not ruffian sort of thing, you know, and you just get out. And I always say to people, well, if I'm coaching young referees, most important is go out there to enjoy yourself. You're not there to take abuse, you have to enjoy yourself. Because it's your hobby, it's your game of football. And all you do as a referee is the same as when you're a player. When you appeal to a referee and say, that's our free kick referee, whichever way you want to say it, that's our free kick referee, that's our throw-in referee. As a referee, that's all you do. You make a judgment, you blow the whistle, and you give it. And you have to be fair, and you have to be firm. But the most important thing is get out there and enjoy yourself.
I can hear your passion, Milf.
Oh, it's marvellous. I wouldn't change my life. Even though... during this cup final we're talking about, mm-hmm. there was a few controversial incidents, so we say. Never in my whole life have I ever enjoyed myself so much as when I'm on a football field refereeing.
You looked as though you enjoyed yourself, and, you still do now.
I still do.
What you do. Yeah, absolutely.
The judge should have saved mine.
Can we move on to those two instances that we're referring
to? There was more than two.
All right, then. Well, there's two in particular, obviously, Rich.
There's two on YouTube, anyhow.
Yeah. Are they on YouTube?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I don't watch that.
There's an interview with you on there, and you've got to sort the hair out, is what I can say.
I never interviewed anybody.
There's an interview with you on there because we've both seen it today.
What was this? What, after the game?
It was after the game. You made a comment on a decision that you felt that perhaps you could have given at the time, but you didn't.
I didn't. Yeah. Oh no, no. You're talking about the second one, Mr. Gascoigne's tackling on the second one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it's one of those things that as a referee, you guys will understand this. The tackle went in, the guy went down, the whistle gets blown. And you think to yourself, right, is this one yellow or is it red? And you go across, and as you get there, normally your hand would go in your pocket, a card would come out. Whichever way you want to do it, red or yellow. The guy's injured, okay? So we call the trainer on. I'm not one of those that's going to be, you know, you just walk away and let the trainer get on with it. And he says things to me, I can't remember the exact terminology because it's many years ago now, but something like, I'm afraid he's going to go off, he's not going to make it. So then you say to yourself, oh, you've got time on your hands. If it's an instantaneous decision, the guy stood up, you walk across and give him a card. Nothing happened. I had to wait and wait and wait. And then thoughts start going through your mind. And one thought that went through my mind, and this is where it becomes a bit silly. The year before, a very good colleague of mine sent off a Man United player in a cup final. Got abused for it. Got mangled in the press for it, for spoiling the cup final, for sending, Mr. Kevin Moran, I think his name was, of Man United, got sent off. And the thoughts go through your mind, oh my God, what do I do here? And you just think about things like this. And in the end, I thought, well, he's going off. We'll leave it as it is. That's pure and simply what happened. Now, you people could say to me, well, you should have sent him off. Yeah, perhaps I could have done. But I'm going to tell you this, guys. In hindsight's a very good refereeing thing. In hindsight, I'd do exactly the bloody same again.
Fair play to you, Milf.
Yeah.
But today's referees would not be expected to do it like that.
No. Mind you, let's be fair. In the days I'm talking about now, tackles were tackles, men were men. Mm. Now we've got wimps on the football pitch that fall over to push you on their shoulder.
Football is a game of skill.
But no, not in those days. Skill, it was skill and toughness. Oh, no, ladies,
we did this a couple of months ago.
No. It was skill and technique and management and toughness. Toughness in the game.
Rog, go on. Can I ask you, did this affect you personally after the game when you got, you know, a couple of days after? Was there any sort of backlash?
Listen, man, you're talking to Milf here. I got no trouble whatsoever. After the game, we went up to this lounge we go to, and there were referees up there, there were FA councillors up there, there was an England manager up there, and they all came up, 99.9% said to me, good game, you kept it flowing, you played extra time, you showed your fitness, no trouble whatsoever. There was a few wins, but nobody mentioned, because at Mr. Gascoigne, it all blew up afterwards, and it was the media. I go back. I remember what I said to you a few months ago. The media caused all this blinking, this hoo-ha, and whether they're right or wrong, it's like there's been incidents recently in football where people have been elbowed, they've been kicked, they've been punched, they've been all sorts going on, but nothing is ever made of it. Now you expect it, but years ago it was one of those things. It was the cup final, for God's sake, and that's why I keep telling you, you can't, unless you've ever been there, you just cannot understand the not pressure, because I don't mind pressure is nothing, the atmosphere that sort of gets to you.
Do you think, had it not been Gascoigne, had it been somebody less profile, that higher profile, that then nothing would have been made
without
of it.
A doubt. Without Gary Mabbott, a friend of mine, came up to me after the game. He said, Roger, so I tried to get all the way before the game and warn you. He said he was on a bit of a high. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, before the game, you know, when the guardsmen were marching up and down, were blowing their bugles, and the band was walking up and down. I said, yes. He said he took great pleasure in kicking football, turning up their busbies off. That's what he was doing before the game.
So he said he was
on a high. I said, well, Gary, if you'd have warned me, I said, I listened to people. You're a captain. I listened to you. I couldn't have done much about it, but I'd have listened to you. And it's things like that. You're thinking, well, It's him. And I say to this day that my own personal thoughts on this are the fact that he had been sold to Lazio in Italy. And the press have been saying something about, oh, he won't last in Italy, they'll kick him to death with the Italian defenders and all that. And I'm sure he went out to show people in this showpiece game that he could look after himself. And I'm sure that's why he dashed about like a mad dervish the first time. He was only on the pitch for like 7 minutes, I think.
But he was a very excitable player, yes. Enough, wasn't he?
Yes. Listen, I'd refereed Paul Gascoigne many times. Never had. He was a joker. He was a kidder. He was a good footballer, magnificent footballer on the game. But he was never nasty. And that was a complete out of character for me what Gazzy did that day. But that's what a referee should react to the game. But never mind, it happened.
Yeah, I like your theory on it, Milf, and at the time it was appropriate perhaps, but you know, today's game doesn't allow that type of challenge to go on.
Because, no. You've only got a push for somebody nowadays.
They're very clever stuntmen at the moment.
They are stuntmen, I think.
Can we talk about as well the first challenge that
didn't
he
did? Didn't see it, mate. Didn't see it.
Didn't
see it. I mean, I looked at the assistant on that side, and I said to him after, I said, did you get a clear view of it? He said, well, he went in a bit high afterwards. He said, he definitely didn't play the ball. So I think, well, yeah. When I saw it on TV, I thought, oh crikey, didn't see it. Honestly, you can make as many excuses as you like. I didn't see it, and if you don't see it, you can't make a comment on it.
The thing with
I can remember saying something to him walking away. I said, look guys, I said, you obviously did something, I didn't see it, but just behave yourself. I was a talker on the football pitch, as you can imagine.
And, really?
No, surely not.
So I just said to her, I said, just behave yourself. I didn't see what happened. I really didn't. In fact, I believe someone's told me since that one of the commentators said, if Roger had seen that, he would have done something about it.
Yeah.
So I can't make any real comment about it.
Would it be fair to say then, Milf, on your thoughts about the challenge that led to his injury, you would have, as you did, left him alone?
Yes.
But had you seen that high foot, would you have sent him off for that one?
First minute of a cup final? Not on your Nelly, mate.
Okay.
Not on your Nelly, let's be honest about it. I mean, it's easy in hindsight to say, oh, yes, I would have done that. Not on you, you're talking to me. If I tell you as it is, not on your Nelly. You'd have to decapitate somebody in those days to get sent off in the first minute of a game.
Okay.
We're talking 20 years ago near here, mate.
Yeah, sure, I understand.
I mean, like I said, people don't understand it. Anybody in my age, or perhaps even your age, listening to this now, will understand what we're talking about. The younger referees will not understand about tough tackling people. Billy Bremner, Johnny Giles, Norman Hunter, and all those sort of people. They could put a tackle in, boy.
It was part of the game, wasn't it?
It
was accepted as well.
And
wasn't
it was accepted, but nowadays, I mean, you put Norman Hunter and those sort of people wouldn't last 2 minutes today. Mm. And Chopper Harris at Chelsea. I mean, you know, they were men, and the forwards expected a tackle to come in the first minute. I mean, one of the things we used to say to people in those days was, you get tackled by the fullback, and you call him and say, look, you just kicked him. In a moment, next challenge, he's going to kick you back. I didn't see yours, and I won't see his, but the next one will be mine. And that was that's a rule of thumb, how it used to be. But nowadays, the tackle goes in, a guy roars about 20 times, roars from halfway line to the penalty area, and then he calls a trainer on, and he just wipes his lipstick off, and he gets on with the game sort of thing, you know. Different game, I guess. I'm sorry, fellas.
It is a totally different game to deal with today, Milf. And our referees, I think, are harshly scrutinised.
Oh, definitely. We said this months ago.
It was a little bit different.
I feel sorry for them. I mean, I was a bit over the top a few months ago, but it has to be said that I think we're because the game's gone the way it has gone, I still think our referees of yesteryear were a better bunch than they are today. It's only my opinion. My boss tells me, Mike Riley tells me, the game is all about opinions.
I respect your opinion, Milf.
Yes.
But like I say, I'm going to move with the times.
Yes.
Got to stick with the trends of today.
Go on, then.
And not relate to yesteryear. But
go
I
on,
like,
then.
I like talking about I like talking about yesteryear with you, though.
Yes. I tell you, yesteryear, the things that happened years ago would never happen today, sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you a story. Liverpool. I mean, Liverpool was one of my favourite clubs to go to. Not because I supported them, but I still love going there. My first ever game at Liverpool when I was a referee, I drove to the ground and walked up to the reception, and the guy said, "Excuse me, sir, where do you think you're going?" In a Scouse accent, of course. I'm Bristolian. I said, match referee. He said, oh, yeah, we've already asked for it. You've got it already. He said, clear off, mate, go away. And I was a referee. I said, what do you mean, three more? the three guys already gone in with bags. I said, well, I am the actual referee. And as it happened then, Kenny Dalglish come along, well, I've, you know, met before, and he says, hey, this is the referee. So where those other guys got their bags from, God only knows.
And you're going to do one as a match incident for us as well.
Oh, yeah, I've got plenty of those.
Excellent.
Wimbledon, I got Wimbledon, and another sort of story with them. We went to Derby County one day, and we're on the pitch walking around before the game, as we always do, and on come the boys, all the boys of Wimbledon, the crazy gangs you call them. Hello, Milf, how are we getting on today? I said, very well, thank you, boys. You know, how are you getting on? Great, we're going to win some money today. I said, don't wish to know that. He said, listen, Corky, 10-1 to score the first goal. Get on him. I said, did talk to the referee that's in this, mind you. I said, well, you can't bet. Oh, no, we don't bet. Our friends bet for us. He said, 10-1 on Corky. Game starts. Guess who scored the first goal?
Surprise.
They put the ball into the... And he said, nothing illegal about it. Just the fact he hadn't scored for about 6 games. They said he's due a goal. But the things like that, you couldn't do that nowadays. You'd get up in the court for sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, and John Fashanu, Liverpool game. This is what current referees can pick up on, because I know exactly where they're coming from, because player went down injured on the halfway line, called the trainer on... treated the player. In those days they didn't go off. Treated the player. How are you going to restart the game, Roger? I said, drop ball. I said, John Fashanu, kick it back to Bruce, will you, gobbler? He said, yeah, okay, Roger, I'll drop the ball to you. He said, Grobby, come on out, edge in there. I said, he's going to kick it back to you. Drop the ball. Fashanu lobbed him, didn't he? Went over, sailed over his head. Time stopped, dragged on. Ball went on and on and on, hit the crossbar and bounced behind for a goal kick. And they all rushed towards me, and I said, whoa, you've got the wrong fella. That big guy over there, go and hammer him. I said, there's nothing to do with me. And my pants were turning a different colour.
Oh, brilliant.
But you know, I can relate to that nowadays with the guys nowadays when you can't trust players. And I think, but you know, and Fash said to me, said, I didn't mean that. And I just looked at him. I said, yes, I believe you. A thousand wouldn't. But it happened in those days. Things do happen on the football field you've got no control over.
Milf, last one from me.
Go on, then.
For aspiring referees of today,
yes.
It's got to be today.
Yes.
That's your focus.
No, well, I not yesterday, when... so I can relate to that.
You can't focus on yesteryear when you were refereeing or when I was.
Yep.
But let's move with the trend and the times. What would be a tip for you to any aspiring referee?
Oh, dear, a difficult one. That is very difficult because my philosophy over the years hasn't changed. I think the first thing to do, is, like I said earlier on, is to enjoy yourself. Get out there and enjoy yourself. You have to be firm nowadays. You have to be reasonably fit. Otherwise, you'll get nowhere today unless you're fit. Be fit, be firm, be fair. But above all, enjoy yourself. Because for 99.999 of the people refereeing in this country, the job, no matter how you want to say it, is a hobby. It is not your work of employment. Enjoy yourself, because tomorrow you've got to go back to work. The further you go up the ladder, yes, but the most important thing for anybody, you can't teach it, it's enjoyment, and stick to the basics. The basics will get you a long way. Don't try to invent things, stick to the basics.
Milf, I love your passion. I think you are mad.
Yes.
But I love the passion.
And I know you're mad.
Where's a guy coming in the white coat, so hurry up.
Yeah, exactly. Rog, great to talk to you again, and hopefully catch up soon.
Catch you soon.
Rich. Cheers, Darren.
Contact us now. refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks, Rog. I'll tell you what, where he gets his energy from. He must be pushing 80 now, isn't he?
Well, I will say one thing. I'm finishing on that point with Roger. Roger, for those of you that don't know, is actually now retiring from the PGMO assessors list, and I don't know the total number of years accurately, but as an active match official and including his number of years as an assessor, he must be approaching 30 years service towards the professional game.
And he's been a great servant to
absolutely.
The game.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done, Rog. Okay, it's the final Referees World podcast for this season, at least anyway. Now, over the next few months, if you'd like to contact us with any suggestions, then we'd love to hear from you. You could email us, refereesworldpodcast@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can listen to us on iTunes. You can subscribe for free. If your computer's playing up, you still want to listen and you've got an iPhone, then that's brilliant, because you can download it to your phone and listen that way. Before we go, we just need to mention, since we've been presenting the podcast, which started in November, okay, we've been listened to in various places across the world. Here's the list of where the Referees World podcast, this according to Google Analytics, is where we can be heard or have been heard.
Right, starting with, where have we
been
heard?
Okay, obviously here in the UK. There's one underneath it, the second one, it doesn't say. So there's some random country out there that's second in the list. Followed by the States, Brazil, Russia, Germany, Portugal, France, Canada, Ireland, Poland, Jordan, New Zealand, the United Arab Emirates, this is a new one from the last time we checked this, Taiwan, Jamaica, Norway, and India.
Fantastic.
The download is complete.